mango ice cream, chocolate coins, and cigar smoke. I know I've mentioned my grandmother, my Lola, before when I've preached, but mango ice cream, chocolate coins, and cigar smoke are things that I associate with my grandfather, her husband, my Lolo. Teodolo Hosson Paglanauan died when I was just 3 years old, during that time that I lived with my relatives in the Philippines. My Lola and aunts told me that my Lolo had gone away on a long, long voyage, which I guess in retrospect was true. I don't remember much about him, and the little that I do remember, I suspect, comes mostly from pictures in a photo album. But one thing I do remember clearly, that every day my Lolo came home from work as a principal at a local school, he would sit me on his lap in his study. I remember a favorite short-sleeved green shirt that he liked to wear, and the smell of his cigar strong, filling the room. And after hearing about my day, he loved treating me to mango ice cream, my favorite back then, and those chocolate coins wrapped in gold foil. But if I remember and hold on to anything about him, it's that being with my Lolo made me feel cherished and special, treasured and beloved. Towards the end of a movie that recently came out, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers invites his skeptical journalist turned friend to take a few seconds in silence to remember all the people who have loved you into being, all those who gave you the message and made you feel beloved. Can you bring to your mind and heart who some of those people are for you? Those people who loved you into being, made you know that you were beloved and cherished. And beside that, can you bring to mind what your response was and what it is to this feeling and to this knowledge of being treasured and beloved? What do you do with that? In today's gospel, we hear something about Jesus seeing and hearing and knowing that he is treasured, that he is beloved by the one who he prayed to and called Abba, my Father in heaven. We've, of course, been catapulted forward in time in the lifeline and life story of Jesus. No longer are we in Bethlehem beholding the babe in the manger. No longer are we with the shepherds wondering at the message of the angels. No longer are we with those wise men from the east bearing our gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those Christmas gifts have been offered and received and exchanged. Those sweet shepherds have gone back from whence they came, their headpieces and costumes stored away for another season, with the angels' halos and white flowing robes tucked away with them. And Mary has long since left her pondering pose, though I imagine Mary continued to hold many things in her heart as Jesus grew from a child to a man. All these things are now of Christmas past, and we find ourselves flung forward in time to a new season, to a new year, to a new Super Bowl hope, perhaps for next year. Yeah, let's just take a moment to... A new year with Jesus now an adult. Jesus has made his way from Galilee to the Jordan River, which is not an easy trek, by the way, to see John. Now, in Luke's version of Jesus' story, we're made aware of the relationship of Jesus and John, that they are cousins, but today we're in the Gospel of Matthew, and so all we know is that Jesus has come to the Jordan to be baptized by that prophet who wore camel's hair with a leather belt and ate locusts and wild honey. And after a slightly awkward exchange where John says, Jesus, you're the one that needs to be doing this to me. You need to baptize me. And Jesus' response, well, actually, we need to do it this way for now to fulfill all righteousness. Just trust me. John consents. And Jesus, we can see with our mind's eye, is immersed in the waters of the Jordan. And as Jesus is coming up out of the water, it's then that he perceives and he hears a message from the creator of the universe. The heavens, as it were, opened, and God's Spirit descending and alighting on him like a dove. And the voice, that voice, proclaiming, "This is my beloved. You are beloved." And it's armed with this knowledge, this feeling, this certainty that he is beloved, that Jesus first goes into the wilderness, according to Matthew, to be tempted, and then soon after that starts his ministry out in public, his life's work of teaching and healing, proclaiming, embodying the good news of God's radical love and dream for all of humankind. That is Jesus' response to the knowledge and certainty that he is beloved, he is treasured. Baptism is this mark and sign of being beloved and treasured. And it is also how we choose to respond in the way that we live our lives, proclaiming with our lives by word and deed that Christ is Lord. Christ is Lord. In the early centuries of Christianity, before Christianity became the religion of the empire, it was a radical and revolutionary, life-threatening thing to proclaim that Christ is Lord. Because if you were to proclaim that Christ was Lord in those first early centuries, that meant that you were saying that the Emperor Caesar Augustus was not Lord, and that got many people killed. But what does it mean now? Is it as revolutionary and radical to proclaim Christ is Lord here in the 21st century? Here are some thoughts about what it means. To proclaim Christ as Lord here and now in the 21st century means we proclaim a creator of the universe who is our ultimate source of being. And that this creator of the universe actually cares and is not indifferent to human suffering. To proclaim Christ as Lord in the 21st century means we proclaim a creator who is enfleshed and embodied and works his or her mysterious healing ways in and through you and me, human flesh and blood and actions and choices. To proclaim Christ as Lord in the 21st century means that we proclaim a Christ who stands especially on the side of the weak, the vulnerable, the oppressed, the ones on the margins, people without a voice, people whose voices and stories have been suppressed for too long. To proclaim Christ as Lord in the 21st century means we proclaim with our lives that radical acts of mercy and forgiveness and self-giving are more powerful than revenge. To proclaim Christ as Lord in the 21st century means that we believe that true strength comes in vulnerability and in surrender, and that power is meant to be power with and power for, not power over. To proclaim Christ as Lord in the 21st century means we stand and proclaim that light does shine through the darkness, that love is stronger, stronger than death still ever has been, ever will be, and that nothing can separate us, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ. To proclaim Christ as Lord in the 21st century means that we believe, we give our hearts to the truth that friendship and relationship and connection and community, these are life-giving. Isolation and separation are death-dealing. And that, in the words of a modern-day prophet, the moral arc of the universe is long and bends towards justice, and that we can choose with our lives to be part of this bending. And to proclaim Christ as Lord in the 21st century means that we believe that the broken pieces of our lives, of our families, of our dreams, of our community, of our city, of our nation, of our world, these broken pieces are redeemable. And God, working through us and our hearts, can redeem them and collect them to create a new mosaic of broken pieces that are now together whole, through which light can still shine. And that even our greatest suffering can be the crucible for our greatest joy. All these things are what we proclaim when we proclaim as baptized Christians, Christ is Lord in the 21st century. It can look as simple and as hard as standing beside a friend or a colleague, a partner, who is going through his or her dark night of the soul, having just lost someone beloved, having just had relationship and trust broken, having just lost a job, standing beside them and saying, I believe in you. We will get through this. This too shall pass, and I am beside you, and God is holding us together through this dark night. It means standing beside a young person who is struggling with identity, struggling perhaps on a path of self-destruction, death-dealing ways, looking into his or her eyes and saying, God has a different dream for you, and I believe in the best that you have yet to be. And it could be walking to parts of our city that break your heart when you see them, seeing the world as it is in parts of our city and giving our hearts to and believing yet and working towards the world that can be still and should be. Just a few days ago, several leaders walked around a community called Johnston Square, several people under the leadership of Regina Hammond, who has become a close partner and colleague and friend. Regina wanted us to see what the library at Johnston Square Elementary School looked like. There are few times in my life where I have remembered walking into a situation and really having nothing to say for a long time, and this was one of those times. I walked into this library and was speechless for a long time, it felt. A library, knowing, if you can just remember what libraries meant for you in your life. Well, a library in this school looked like it was just a huge storage room, books and shelves that looked like they hadn't been touched in years, cables and keyboards and screens that had been strewn to one corner, cardboard boxes in another. So to be a Christian in the 21st century in Baltimore meant to stand in that space with your heart breaking and yet believe and know and trust that this too can change and can be redeemed and to start to work towards that new reality. Today, in just a few moments, we're going to be welcoming and celebrating the baptism of Henry and Savannah and James into our 21st century Baltimore Christian faith community here at the Church of the Redeemer. And one of the gifts of community is that when it's hard to say, I believe, and it's hard for whatever's going on in our lives, in our city, in our world, to stand in your own authenticity and say, I believe, because it can and is hard. It helps to be in community. When you are surrounded by other people also walking the same path and you can be carried by their voices saying, we collectively believe, we give our hearts to this truth that God and life and love are stronger than all the things that would have us believe not. So thank you for being a part of this 21st century Christian faith community here in Baltimore, and we look forward to welcoming three new brothers and sisters into our midst.